to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News. We're so behind. Forget it.
I know. Did you do one last week?
I didn't even get... No.
Oh,
and it's not entirely my fault. I had a couple times when it was like, hey, I can do it. Can anyone do it? And you couldn't do it at one of the times. And then... anyway. Sorry.
Last week was Cyber Week for me at my work.
Yeah.
So we were... crazy busy, so yeah. I couldn't get in any times.
Well, and I know DJ Rob's been traveling, right? And just Joni starting to feel better. Maybe she'll be on another episode that we'll do this week. We'll see. Depends on what, you know, kind of timing works out on some things. So there's that.
Janetite's been sick.
Yeah, Janamanite has been, I mean, she still looks fantastic, even sick, right? Where it's like...
the pictures of her.
Yeah.
Here's me sick in bed.
Oh, I'm a hot mess, and it's just like this glamour bed shot. I don't know. Maybe we should share that on Instagram so people can see. I don't know that she would appreciate it, but I think we might just do that
She'd
anyway.
She'd love it.
But everyone, yeah, just seems to be so busy. But I'm hoping here in the next couple weeks to be able to record a bunch. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm going to try and do a second one this week to kind of make up for last week. Trying to do a couple interview episodes. Might record a couple on Sunday. Have some free time, and people are a little bit more available on Sunday, it seems. So we'll see. I don't know.
And it's a religious-based podcast, yeah. So it's all right to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, it's sort of work, and I've sort of hesitated to doing that because the other part of it is I don't want to take people away from their families. But I feel like if I offer it and people are like, yeah, that works, okay, then I'll do it.
That's not... You're not getting paid, so it's not work.
Yeah.
And it's something, again, religious-based, so it's kind of like a church meeting.
Right, but it does take people away from their families, and it's not a calling, and it's... So there's all that. But busy time, oh, year, for me.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I wasn't supposed to be in a production at the Desert Star Theater this Christmas. I had tried to be in a production at Hale, where Brother Kyle's mom performs. But they precast the part that I wanted to be in. So then I threw a hissy fit, and then I didn't audition.
Oh.
Because they already said, hey, we already know who we want for this guy. And I was like, you haven't even seen me. You don't know that you don't want me. And they're like, well, we don't care. We're gonna hire this other guy. So I said, fine, you know what? Well, then I'm not going to be in your little show. So then I couldn't be in the show at the Desert Star. And then they had to fire someone at the show at the Desert Star. And then they said, hey, can you come do this show tomorrow? And I was like, well, I don't know it. Is that a problem? And they're like, no, just carry the script. That'll be fun. So
really, is that what you did?
Yeah.
And how do they fire somebody from the desert?
So,
were they terrible?
No. No, what happened was, so the Desert Star and most of the theaters here in Salt Lake, you kind of have another job, right? You have a daytime job and then you perform, right? Because it doesn't pay good. And they would say, we pay great, but...
No.
You know, you can't, it's not a living wage. It's, you know, it's nice Christmas money or vacation money.
Yeah.
And so his day job said, hey, we need you to work the day after Thanksgiving. And he's like, listen, I got shows. I'm contracted to be in shows. And they're like, we don't care. And he said, well, they don't have anybody else. Cause the other guy playing his part was in Las Vegas for the holiday weekend. And they said, listen, you're there the day after Thanksgiving or you're fired. And he's like, guys,
wow.
I just bought a house. I got to do this. Sorry, that sucks. So the director filled in the day after Thanksgiving. And then that four-show Saturday, the next day, I did all four shows with a script in my hand, doing my best, trying to come up with it all.
Write it on a football. And then he just hold the football, you know. And
doesn't work for my character.
Oh.
I play Ursel. He's a car mechanic? He's also the arts director for the theater. It's fun. It's very much
that. You know, I've never been to a play there.
Really?
And I really want to, yeah. I know, like, our old friend Brittany has been a few and said, hey, I have some tickets, and it's when I haven't been able to go.
Should take the boy.
So, I know. Yeah, I want to go.
Okay. I'll get you in.
And what is the show right now?
It's called Nutcracker, Men in Tights.
Uh-oh.
You know something's going to go on in that show. So whatever. So there's that. And then I bought a house, closing my house, got the car keys to my... Or the car keys, the house keys to my house. And the guy who owned my home before me lived there for a really long time. And I think The best way that I can describe what's gone on in that house is, well, two things. One, I think in about 1960, they decided to stop updating things, right?
Yeah, so, why?
It's fine. Well, the carpet's fine. I ripped up carpet on Saturday, and I'm pretty sure I ingested 50 years of human skin as I ripped that stuff up. I, at the end of it, I just was... My asthma so bad. And I wore a mask the whole time I ripped it.
I was going to say, why didn't you wear a mask?
I wore a mask the whole time. Could not breathe.
Wow.
And then the other thing is, I think that he didn't think his house was going to sell as quick as it did. Or that moving would be as much work as it was. Because what he ultimately did was just like, all right, fine, I'm leaving all this.
He gave up and left.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just gone. I have a woodworking, so there's my house, and then behind my house, I have a wood shop, because every guy needs a wood shop.
Yeah.
It's like a 200-square-foot wood shop, and he's left me every paint that house has ever needed, every stain, every paintbrush, there's router bits, and just, I don't even know, so much. So much stuff.
You know, he probably thought when he went back, he said, like, I'm going to leave this for this guy so he can touch stuff up. He's going to be so glad for this family moving in here.
Yeah. You're going to want this color paint for the walls. Yeah. Yep. I sure am.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. You just leave that. I'm pretty sure that there's all the paint has evaporated out of the bucket somehow, and it's just dust. That's how old the paint is.
Some tan dust in the bottom of the
bucket. You may be careful. That might have lead in it. Like, that's how old this stuff is. But it's fun. Ripped my carpet up. Found hardwood floors underneath. I'll get a picture to Anna to put up on our Instagram so people can see that. That's kind of exciting, but it's just consuming.
Did you not know that when you bought the home, did you not know what was under there?
I sort of did. I took a peek a little bit, but it's not uncommon for people to rip up the hardwood floors and leave parts or, you know, to have damage. And I didn't know the condition that it was in because I couldn't rip up the guy's whole carpet. Well, I'm like, oh, I want to buy this. Can I rip up your floors? Oh, I guess I'm not buying this, you know, that kind of thing. But pleasantly surprised for sure. They're in pretty good condition. Need some work. I'm not sure the type of wood or anything like that, but we'll see.
Yeah. It looked okay.
Yeah.
From the pictures.
Yeah. Pain in the butt.
Doable.
Yeah. That's all I've done. I've owned the house now for, let's see, what day is today? Tuesday? I've owned the house now for 8 days.
You've done the funnest part that takes about 30 minutes.
It took longer. Everyone says it takes 30 minutes. It took forever. That carpet was heavy, and you have to take out the tack board.
That takes some time, yeah. And you poke yourself a ton.
Yes.
Getting that stuff
out. Normally is a lot more fun, but in this case was not.
Uh-uh.
It's fun. I've started the bliss. That is.
Are you living in the home right now?
No.
Oh, you're not.
No. Do you need a place?
No. Because I got a place.
Oh, yeah. Pew, pew, pew. So that's all for me. That's all that's going on. Doing theater and trying to remodel a house and stay in shape. How do you liking your place?
That's enough. It's good.
Yeah. Your kid's still jazzed about it, or does he wish you still lived in the back of a car?
He is, yeah. He's around more. Little times here and there because I'm 2 minutes from where his mom lives, so he can, you know, hey, come over and have some dessert. Come over and have some ice cream or something.
You can do that?
So we can do that all the time.
You guys do that? You play nice enough that you can do that?
Yeah, his mom is part of the deal with the devil, I call it, is that anytime he wants to step over or come over, ride his bike over, and it's always been that way.
Oh, really?
He can come over.
So that's not bad. I mean, you say deal with the devil. That is a pretty sweet deal.
You
paid for that?
I am paying for it dearly, but it's worth every penny.
Good.
Yeah. So if we want to go snowboarding on a Thursday night, which sometimes we do, I can just pick them up and...
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's worth whatever it is that you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I mean, you hear about the terror stories.
Yeah.
About, yep. Exactly. Hey, I wanted to see him, but I couldn't because, you know, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, my birthday's on Wednesday.
Well, no, you only have every other Wednesday.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Yep.
No, none of that.
Good.
So yeah, so that's good. All moved in, which didn't take long. Two trips in an SUV. And
sad, right?
It's not a joke because it's real.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to... My thing is clothes, but I have some sort of weird sentimental attachment to clothes. But other than that, I have five Rubbermaids of memory stuff, and that's it.
Yeah. I found some, because I'd stored stuff at a couple places around.
And then they finally say, you got a place, take this.
Yes, pretty much.
Parents?
So they're one of me. Yeah.
Hey, we're tired of storing this.
Because they had in one of their bedrooms downstairs. My parents have three bedrooms and a huge basement. It's probably 2,000 square foot basement.
Jeez.
That has a small kitchenette in it and it's where I had an office set up. Perfect place for you to live. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when my siblings from out of town come over, they stay there with all their many kids.
Right.
And there's plenty of room. But with my stuff in one room, it was kind of a mess because I had some boxes in there.
Yeah.
Didn't want them touching it. And so now they're happy that they have a place to stay when they come over.
See?
Oh, good. Now you have your place to stay when you don't want to drive an hour back home.
Is that really all it is? And I can go back
and stay in my car. Now, well, they live in Pocatello. It's 2 hours almost.
Well, so 2 hours. That's a whole state, though.
I know.
That's how they get away with it, right?
Uh-huh.
I live in Idaho. I've got to stay over. It's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's Idaho. It's like a whole different world.
I know.
Do you guys do a big brown family Christmas party?
We do. Yeah.
What's that like?
Like a week before Christmas.
Okay.
And it's just like Thanksgiving with all the family there with all their horrible little kids.
Uh-huh.
Driving me nuts.
Yeah.
And so glad that they're not mine. And, and them, I can see the in their eyes, I can see...
The jealousy of you?
No, the dark, pit that they're in, that they are miserable now.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not kidding.
For real?
Yeah.
Does your kid make fun of the other kids too, or
Not really.
No?
There's a couple older ones he kind of hangs out with, and they sit on their phones and play games with each other,
Check out this filter.
Yeah. Yeah, dumb stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we have a big family thing, and we everybody is there, and we do some gifts and some games that are like some traditional things. And just kind of
you do the
stuff.
Nativity? What do you do? What's the traditional
we
stuff?
We do the nativity, yeah.
Reading from Luke 2?
It's terrible.
Yeah?
No, because the kids are rotten.
Yeah.
And eventually you can... My poor father's like, he wants to... just strangle him, but he's the nicest guy in the world, so he doesn't. And my mom, and she's starting to get a little mad, a little red in the face. Mm-hmm. And the parents have had it because they can't take him. You know, they'd rather be away from him because they hate their kids. I mean, they love him, but they hate him.
Right.
They really do.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding about this.
What's the food? What's the food tradition?
What will we have? It changes a little bit, but we always have a truffle.
Okay.
With a... with a nut hidden in it, an almond that hides in it, whoever finds it. So basically whoever cracks their tooth and loses a filling gets a prize.
Nice.
It's like a...
What's the prize?
It's like a chocolate orange.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those ones you crack?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
You smack it on the table.
Yeah.
And then, the kids end up crying because they didn't get it.
Right. Oh, you got it last year, man. Yeah. You like Christmas, don't you?
In a way, in Christmas, I love Christmas. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
But or and?
No. And although part of this family time is miserable with their kids that will drive me batty, I kind of like it.
Like that it is a reminder every year that you're glad you don't have more kids or what?
No. Just that, my kid's a good kid, and I just got the one, and it's pretty easy. Maybe I'm just lazy, and I don't want to deal
with
five.
There's probably a little element of that.
All of that. But I've always loved Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it, sentimental. I sit, no joke, I sit and watch the Hallmark Channel every night for while I'm working at home.
You should hang out with DJ Rob's wife. That's all she does in the month of December, too.
Does she really?
Just consumes them like crazy. And she's not a lazy person, so don't.
Oh, no.
That's not what I'm saying at all. She works very hard. She loves the Hallmark Christmas movies. Just
so
one
I.
After another. DJ Rob has a bunch of gigs in December, right? And so Britt, who's been on recently a bunch, he and I one time went over and just hung out and watched a Hallmark movie with DJ Rob's wife. He comes home. He's like, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we're watching Hallmark Christmas movies.
See, I can watch it because I have a big TV now. I can watch it on and buy a used TV for $40.
Good for you.
Giant.
Yeah.
And I watch these and I know what's coming most of the time, except in that one where on the mistletoe promise when he sent the email out to the whole company. Oh, here's their mistletoe promise and of the surprise. And I was so mad.
Wasn't that filmed here?
I'll bet a lot of those are filmed here.
Or Mistletoe Promise. Is that the one based on the Richard Paul Evans book?
No.
Okay.
No, this is not.
He's got a book called The Mistletoe Promise. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it is that.
I don't know.
Two really beautiful. Everybody in these things is single and gorgeous.
Right.
And I want to know what
town
they live in.
And you're looking around going, yeah, what is this town? Sure.
Where is I'm going to move there. Because there's always like a rich executive, one of them, a lot of times a woman.
Who's lost connection with...
with Christmas.
With Christmas. Yeah.
And then like the single dad.
Sure.
Who's struggling to get by, works at some kind of laborious job. Yeah.
And they happen upon each other, and they don't like each other at first.
No. But then, you know, sparkle through
sometimes
the air.
Sometimes it's an angel, right?
Yeah. Or somebody falls and hits their head.
Yep. Or sometimes it's the touching moment with the kid. They run into the kid. Where is your dad or mom?
Yeah.
Hey, dad or mom.
They're
meet
all...
Meet this beautiful person that I met today. I'm in love. Oh, well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, I'm already engaged, but I'm not really in love with them. Yeah. It's just they're so rich. And
yeah. I've lost touch with who I am and what I want. What's your big thing you
and
want?
And I try not to cry at the end.
And you totally do. They're manufactured.
Sometimes I might. Sometimes I might. And I know it's coming. I know it's going to happen every time, but still.
And it fires up with the music and the waterworks come. It's how it is for me, too.
Oh, I love them.
What's the big thing for you for Christmas?
That I'm getting?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
You don't buy yourself something?
Mm-mm.
No? Does the kid get you gifts?
He will. He'll get
me
something.
Suck?
Yeah. No.
No, they don't?
His mom will take him and he'll get me something.
Oh, really?
Nothing like he gets for his mom.
Yeah. Nothing like he gets for his mom. Oh, you take him to go.
Yeah, from me. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. How about a pair of skis?
For real?
Yeah, how about a North Face coat?
Maybe you're too nice. Maybe you're too nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm
yes,
not.
I am.
I'm the most horrible person in the world.
Just
and I should
ask her. You really don't get yourself anything?
No, I don't need anything. I get plenty of stuff through the year. When I need it, I get it.
Yeah.
So my son will get me something kind of cool.
Yeah.
He usually does something that's pretty cool, so.
I've contemplated getting myself something this year because I won't have anyone to get me anything.
You get used to it. Don't worry.
Do you? Because I literally have no one to get me anything this year. I'm kidding. No, but I have considered getting myself, like, I'm going to buy my washer and dryer and call it my Christmas gift or something like that.
Yeah.
Just because I have to get it anyway.
Yeah.
But in the spirit of, like, it's my Christmas gift kind of thing.
Put a big bow on it. And
yes.
What are you going to get, though? Is it a washer and dryer?
It'll probably be something for my house, which then isn't that great because then it's like, oh, it's all part of the big project. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go on vacation. I've got a buddy who lives in Hawaii. I'm trying to go on vacation there like in April. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll buy my air flight or my airline ticket for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have something to look forward to.
Yeah, totally. That'd be fun.
Cue the music. My life is a Hallmark movie. Anyway.
We both need to move to that town.
Right? Whatever that town is, we'll go there. We're just as good looking as all no one in that town is.
We're going to be the people in the background.
Oh, those poor guys. Do they have jobs, those guys? Oh, that's too bad, those guys. Let's take a break for a sec. We'll come back and we'll do an email and then actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. Dear Dan, I keep hearing your ads talking about free virus and malware scans on any brand of desktop or laptop PC. I think you're trying to pull one over on us. We know nothing is free. We're not that naive out there in the real world. Signed, No Free Lunch. Dear No Free Lunch, we mean it. We really will scan your computer for malware and spyware for free. We know that if you have a great experience with us, you'll be so impressed that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. So bring in your computer, no matter what brand of PC it is, to any one of our locations right now for a free virus and malware and spyware scan. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Say goodbye to your malware and spyware. No free lunch. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, and I can't get the email to open, so I'll have to do it in the other one that I do this week. I know. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I don't know if you saw this story. Headline. Naked man, which everyone thought, okay, this is Brother Kyle.
Why did everybody think that?
Because of your naked in the woods thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets weirder, so then people are like, that's not Brother Kyle. Naked man says that he's looking for a wife at the Logan Temple. Authorities say that a man in northern Utah was arrested after he was caught wandering naked on the grounds of the Logan Temple and told the police, hey, I'm looking for a wife. The Herald Journal newspaper in Logan reports that 53-year-old Kelly Thane Archibald dropped a blanket around his waist and climbed the gate of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' temple in Logan on November 13th. Police say that he told investigators that he was naked because that's how he entered the world. That's how I came into it. That's how I'm leaving. November 13th, pretty cold.
Yeah.
Still kind of warm here in Salt Lake, but
I had to have been
cold-ish. Police say that he told investigator. Oh, that I already said that. He's charged with lewdness, and he was a registered sex offender.
Oh, good.
He's criminal trespass and disorderly conduct. He had served time in Idaho in a prison. That's several hours away. He would need to stay here in your parents' house.
I couldn't take him home.
No. His lawyer didn't have a comment on the case. And as I understand, I think he's representing himself as it goes to court.
Perfect.
So that should be interesting. The historic St. George Tabernacle will remain closed for another year as construction moves on schedule. You ever been to the Tabernacle in St. George?
I have, yeah.
Gorgeous. Right on Main Street.
Yeah.
Which is the one that runs north-south in St. George. I went to an organ concert probably 10 years ago now. Amazing. So great there in the St. George Tabernacle. And there's a cool link if you go to theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. There is like a thing you can click through to see the history of the St. George Tabernacle over the years. It's old black and white, like lithograph kind of photos.
Mm, yeah.
And then videos how it's been over time. And they expect it to be finished in time for the holiday season of December 2017. They're doing things like earthquake-proofing the roof, fixing cracks, fixing the woodwork on the inside that started to go bad. It's often referred to as, quote, the jewel of the desert. The tabernacle was originally commissioned by Brigham Young as a public works program during the community's struggling cotton commission. Construction was completed. And it was dedicated in 1876, so before the Salt Lake Temple, before
a lot of the stuff up there.
Yeah, it's old. It's old-timey. The church's tabernacle in Provo, it talks about here, which was made into a temple. Anyway, so people can go and check that out. Like I say, theculturalhall.com has a great link of how you can see that over the years. What do you got?
You heard about the Colombian soccer team whose plane went down.
Yeah, it's
and
like...
most of them were killed.
Yeah, the movie Alive, right? Wasn't that the Colombian soccer team?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. A church member was among the 71 people killed in the November 28th plane crash.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, near Medellin, Colombia. Adriano Wolf Bidencourt, age 45, the Chapecoense Brazil stake, died in the charter flight that was traveling from Santa Cruz, Bolivia to Medellin. The plane included several members of the Brazilian professional soccer club. Is it Chapecoense? I can't pronounce properly. That was scheduled
just
to play.
Just do it with an accent and go quick and people will never notice.
There you go.
Chapecoense.
was set to play in the finals in the prestigious Copa Sudamerica soccer tournament in Colombia. Brother Bittencourt was Chapecoense security chief. He is the father of five children. His daughter, Dolorisa, told the newspaper that her father's approachable manner earned him many admirers and friends. He worked hard to overcome obstacles and get to where he is today, she said. The tragedy prompted grief-stricken tributes in Brazil and across the international soccer community. More than 100,000 mourners gathered at the club's traditional stadium in Chapeco, Brazil, on December 3rd to pay respects to the players, club officials, including Brother Bittencourt. Other professional clubs across Europe honored the fallen with moments of silence during their games.
Sucks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those tragedy things that you just sort of like, you know that they'll make a movie out of it and you'll hear all the stories of all that. But,
Well, weren't there some survivors?
Oh, I don't know.
Or maybe I'm thinking of a different thing that there were.
I saw the wreckage, so it would surprise me that there was any survivors.
I didn't see anything. For some reason, I had in my head that there were like six people lived from it. I could be wrong, but
That kind of stuff. Those tragedy things. I've had this conversation with a few people recently where you hear about like the tragedies and you go, well, why did that have to happen? Right. In that whole like trying to everything that happens, it happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God has a plan and everything.
Yeah.
It's not in that questioning thing, but it is sort of a thing where it's like, yeah, but it's a whole plane full of people. Right.
Well,
a plane full of people are needed on the other side. Like, one guy wasn't just trapped with a bunch
team.
Of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, one guy wasn't like, ah, shoot, I should have followed a prompting, because guess what? God needs all the other people on this plane. I don't know.
Yeah. In fact, one of the Hallmark Christmas movies is about somebody that didn't get on the plane.
Oh, really?
Anyway, that's another story. And that's one of my things about miracles. Everybody's like, you don't believe in miracles.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to my thing that I don't think that God... I think that he puts us here and steps back, that he, you know, horrible things happen. He doesn't want it to happen. Doesn't want, you know, a 5-year-old kid to get cancer.
Uh-huh.
But it's just part of what goes on in our little petri dish called planet Earth.
Hmm.
And then on the other side, you know, is something different.
I'll take it. I'll absolutely go with that, I guess.
You still believe in miracles. It's all right.
Yeah. Where are you from, you sexy thing? Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it.
Where are you from, you sexy thing? I got a list for you. You ready for this list?
Yep.
I know how you love lists. I'm lining out stories. We've got so many stories. I'm just not going to get to them.
Yeah, no, we don't have to do them all. You got another one coming this week.
Yeah,
so
we'll do another one this week. These are people... That is Mormon people with Hollywood stars on the Hollywood Stars of Fame. Are you ready for
excellent.
This?
Yeah.
You are not going to know any of these people. LDS actress Lorraine Day. Any idea?
Mm-mm.
You'd recognize her face. She got her start when she moved from Utah to California. She made her first film appearance in 1937. Her most famous role was as Nurse Mary Lamont in the Dr. Kildare television series. She also was on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Fantasy Island, Love Boat, Lou Grant, and Murder, She Wrote. You can find this list at theculturalhall.com. Dean Jagger, does that name sound familiar to you?
Nope.
There's seven of these, by the way.
Nope.
He is most popularly known this time of year as the General in White Christmas. We'll follow the old
yeah,
man.
That's right.
The grandpa. I remember
that. I knew that. Yeah.
Anyway, he played Brigham Young in a film where President Heber J. Grant consulted with church historians and leaders as far as that film goes. So that's two. You ready for more people you won't know?
Oh, I know him.
Glenn A. Larson.
Don't know him.
Perhaps best known for his science fiction series Battlestar Galactica. He wrote that. For example, it says, talk about Mormon themes in the show, like the colonies originated from the planet Kobol, thought to be an anagram for Kolob. They were governed by a council or quorum of 12. And in the episode War of Gods, Part 2, angels explain, as you are now, we once were. As we are now, you may become. So he totally just took gospel
plagiarized
stuff and chucked it into Battlestar Galactica. He also worked on BJ and the Bear.
Oh.
Glenn A. Larson.
And they still give him a star?
Yeah.
On that
for
thing.
Being a writer. Everybody knows this one. Gladys Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. The Pips didn't get one.
I didn't know she had a... I thought they... Is she considered that much of an actress?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why not? She received a star on the Hollywood Rock of Fame in 1995, and Gladys Knight and the Pips were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. So don't limit her, okay?
No.
Sister Knight and the Pips. Mary Windsor, or Marie Windsor, rather... She went to BYU. She moved to Hollywood in 1940 to pursue an acting career. She was in more than 300 radio dramas. She was also in the film Catwoman of the Moon. She was a gangster's widow in The Narrow Margin. Throughout her career, she appeared in 76 feature films opposite of Marlon Brando, James Garner, David Niven, George Raft. She also was in more than 100 television shows like Charlie's
wow.
Angels, Fantasy Island, Gunsmoke, Maverick, Perry Mason, Simon and Simon, and Murder, She Wrote. You will recognize her face. Billy Barty, you know who that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a little person.
Yeah.
He's in Willow. He's one of the little people in Willow. He's also, if you've seen UHF, he's the little person in UHF, the cameraman.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You've seen it with Weird Al and Kramer.
No, I haven't seen
you
it.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know
about?
What you're talking about, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Badgers? We don't need no stinking badgers. It's hilarious.
I haven't seen it.
Check it out. Anyway, he acted in more than 200 films. He got his walk of his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1981. And then finally, you know him and you love him. The Osmond family. That's right. The whole family
got one. The family got one?
Yep.
Oh.
They got their star back in 2003. They've sold, I want you to guess, the Osmonds have sold how many million records worldwide?
12 million.
So all of the Osmonds, right? So I guess you would combine Marie and Donnie and the family.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying 12 million?
Mm-hmm.
You're way off.
Really?
Yeah. 102 million
Whoa,
records
I
worldwide.
I would not have guessed that.
And they received a record star on the Hall of Fame back in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, right? There's a list for you. How about a website? JustServe.org. It carries the tagline, Building Unity Through Community Service. It is a free community website sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it helps others to build unity by their in their community by finding opportunities to serve. So check it out. It is JustServe.org, and it goes for everywhere, right? You can go to justserve.org and you can find a place in Salt Lake. You can find a place in Logan. You can find a place elsewhere too. You can register your city and opportunities to serve at justserve.org all over.
So you can register?
Right. Yeah. So like if you need some service, you can go there, justserve.org, or if you're looking to serve.
I could put my address and put this lawn needs to be mowed.
I don't think
every
that's exact.
No?
I don't think, no. Every Saturday, and don't skimp out on me. I need crosses, cross pattern.
Change it up.
You know, the lawn needs to be. No, I don't think it's that. I think it's, here's an organization that could use some help. You can put it out there and then also be able to look up something. You ever get that inclination? Hey, this afternoon, I just want to go serve somebody.
I'd like my son to have that inclination so we could go do it.
Do you have that inclination?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You ever taken him to the food bank?
No, I haven't.
Have you really? Here's the deal, and I'm being serious, and hopefully people everywhere have a food bank or like a pantry that they can go to do it, or like a place to feed the homeless. But the Utah Food Bank here in Utah, obviously, it's in Salt Lake. It's really fun. If you get to go, because all the people, especially this time of year, you know, you're gathering cans, right? Bring a can of food and get a dollar off of this, whatever. All those cans just get chucked in a box, and then they take the boxes out to the Utah Food Bank. But they have to separate them by, like, vegetables and canned meats and, you know, these different things. There's, like, 14 different categories. And so you get this box that's probably 6 foot wide by 6 feet, deep, and then probably about 4.5 feet tall. Probably weighs a couple tons because it's all cans. And you're just going through it, and it's sorting it through. You try, you know, they have times that you're trying to beat, sorting it into the right, you know, boxes and stuff like that. It's actually really fun. And you get to meet some all types of different people while you're doing it, too.
And this time of year, though, does it get, like, I would almost think that it gets
a little
too many
jam.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Bishop's Storehouse, too, if your son would ever do that. That's pretty fun, too. You ever been to the Bishop's Storehouse?
When I was a kid, I used to love to do that.
Yeah.
Young teenager, when they would let me in there.
Yeah, you fill up the store, and then people come through. Well, I need to fill up my order. It's like, okay, come along. We'll find the...
And down at they have a mill in Centerville I used to work at.
Yeah.
I loved to work at.
I did corn one time.
Did you?
Yeah. The corn was fresh, and we canned it. It was cool. Big old pile of husks. I made a hat. Really did.
I'm sure you did.
It was just
sure everybody was like, ugh.
And then I sailed down. And then I sailed down the river with my pal Jim. What do you have?
Well, as we all know, we should not bare our shoulders.
Well, porn shoulders. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Well, it earned a failing grade for a BYU Idaho student in her art project, a big F. A freshman student at Brigham Young University, Idaho, said she was surprised to learn that a recent art project went too far by showing exposed female shoulders. Oregon native Waverly Giles said she received a score of 0 out of 100 on her photos for a lower division humanities class. The photo showed a female subject with colorful paint on her face. I saw it. It's pretty...
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing erotic at all about it. And were cropped just beneath the woman's collarbone.
Sure.
That's, again, why it's, you know, nothing...
Well, it's porn shoulders.
...at all subjective. My subject was not fully nude, and she wasn't posing provocatively, Kyle said. But, yes, the shoulders were against the university dress code, and it did imply that she was in the shower. BYU-Idaho, like Brigham Young University in Provo, is owned and operated by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Both schools require students to comply with an honor code that includes dress and grooming standards, but the BYU-Idaho honor code goes further than its sister campus in Provo by prohibiting shorts, capri pants, flip-flops, and other casual footwear, which I didn't know.
Yep.
Giles said she respects and appreciates the school's honor code, but her professor had included images of partially clothed or nude artwork, like Michelangelo's David and so forth, during classroom presentations, which led her to believe that that art projects would be granted some flexibility from the campus rules. Yeah. It's art. It's beautiful. And it's appreciating the human form, she said. I was kind of expecting that same amnesty when it came to my project. Kyle said her assignment was due on November 8th, and she noticed over the school's Thanksgiving break that she had not earned any points for the project. When she confronted her professor about the grade on Tuesday, he said that she was told her photos were inappropriate and had given a blank grading rubric. On that rubric, which Giles posted...
Rubric, right?
Rubric? You know I can't see.
Hold it up to your good eye.
I don't even know what that is. Which Giles posted on Twitter, along with her photos, the professor indicated that the project did not meet the assigned criteria and added a commentary note. I have no idea what to do with these, it said. They are artistic, but... Giles Professor declined an interview via email and directed questions to BYU Idaho spokesman Brett Crandall, who also declined comment. University policy prevents us from commenting on a student's academic performance, Crandall said. The tweet showing Giles' work next to the professor's note gained considerable attention online, earning 305 likes, 148 retweets. Giles said she felt validated by the response, most of which has been supportive of her work.
You know, it's interesting, though, like as I've read into it, and we posted this today on the Cultural Hall's Facebook page. If you're not finding and following us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Pinterest and all the social medias, you should. It's at the Cultural Hall on all those. And especially Twitter, just to take this this time. We have a new Twitter person. She's doing a great job. Her name is Madison. She's phenomenal as far as that goes. And then our folks with Instagram, both Anna and also Jenny, have been doing some really, really funny and entertaining and spiritual stuff on our Instagram. Our Pinterest always is great. And then Facebook, well, I've been slacking a little bit. I've been busy, but I'm trying. So check that out there. But people have been commenting sort of two sides with it. One is it says that it didn't meet the requirements of the assignment. You read that. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if it didn't, right? Like if, I wonder what the exact assignment was.
Yeah, it could be that.
Like, you know, if the assignment was one thing and she does these like finger painted woman in the shower pictures and it's like, take a picture of a dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously it wouldn't, that's not the same thing, but, you know, if you're not fulfilling the assignment, then the professor has every right to be like, no, zero. What am I doing with this?
Yeah.
Or is she trying to be a little bit of a, you know, rabble rouser, as it were, to be like, hey, you know what? Art is this. It is interesting to me, being a student of the arts, to not have a little bit more room as far as that goes. Because there would be things like in my theater classes where, because art is so subjective, it's really hard to give a grade, right? Like someone would write a monologue or something like that, and it would suck, and you'd be so bored, or it would be so terrible, but
it met the criteria.
But yeah, it met the criteria, and then afterwards we would say, well, why did you choose to do this? And they could defend, based on the assignment, why they chose to do those things. Then at that point, it's just like, all right, well, maybe it's just not my thing, right? And it was always sort of fascinating, because like, in, you know, in accounting classes, you get to the end, and it's either the right answer or the wrong answer, you know, numerically, whatever that, you know, tabulation mm-hmm. would be in accounting class. It's not a great example, but there can be definitive answers as far as those things go. But in arts, it's so subjective that, you know, a lot of times it was to my advantage. It's like, just be ready to defend why I made the choice that I did, and it's fine. But it would be really frustrating when you'd see really crappy stuff and be like, well, that person's going to get the same thing as I did because they just fulfilled it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In my... the last art class I took was in high school.
Oh, yeah?
And my teacher...
1970 what?
Did 1979.
Oh, perfect.
Was subjective to what he thought was good and bad, and my stuff was terrible.
Really?
And, you know, it wasn't very good, yeah. And he graded it like that, and now he paints pictures for the church. But...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he made me stop art completely. He made me lose my passion for what I was once passionate about.
Really?
In art, yeah.
He does good stuff for the church? Yeah. Greg Olson.
Yeah.
Del Parson. His name is Greg Olson? It's not,
no.
Greg Olson. It's not the painter of light?
No. No.
I don't want to know actually what his name is.
Yeah.
Freiberg. Was it Freiberg?
I'm not going to say if you hit it.
I don't know. Those are the only three LDS artists.
Yeah, he's not like a real well-known one, but he does a lot.
Cool.
So, but yeah, I remember him holding up one of my paintings and going, huh? Well, I don't know what this is, but anyway, whoa. Puts it down. Puts a D on it and moves to, you know, the other kid.
When I say Josh Holt, do you know who that is?
Nope.
He's the guy who's been imprisoned in Venezuela on alleged weapon charges. He's been there for almost 5 months now. And he is included on a list of 21 political prisoners that the government has agreed to release today.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
I haven't seen
that. It's a fascinating story.
I haven't seen whether or not he's been released today. He's on the list. The governor is also expected to release two congressmen, journalists, Twitter users, students, and protesters, the source who asked to remain anonymous.
Two congressmen?
Yeah. said the release should happen on or before December 6th, the date set for Holt's court hearing, the fourth one, after the first three were suspended because the judge didn't show up for court. Jeanette Prieto, lawyer of the Utah man, said she visited the 24-year-old and a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints this last Monday. He's fine. The doctors have seen him. They're going to run some medical tests, but he's fine. According to an unidentified source, the complaint of cruel and inhumane treatment brought by Prieto last month has been decisive in bettering Holt's living conditions. So they're like, you guys are holding him and it's terrible. Can we get better care of him? Eder Jimenez, president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Caracas. See? You just say it fast and with an accent. Has been monitoring the case of Holt and his wife, Tamara Calino Candelo, also a Mormon, since the beginning of their ordeal. He said that the postponement of hearings has affected his mood. It's been postponed and it has affected my mood, said stake president of Caracas. He has strengthened spiritually. He has his Bible, and we pray for this process to end well. So who knows? Maybe he'll get out today. A follow-up on that story in the other articles of news that we'll do this week. The lights are on a temple square, yes, but also at the St. George Temple. Some amazing pictures. If you've never seen that before, go to the link at theculturalhall.com. Temple Square does a great job, but some of the trees and some of the stuff down at St. George Temple, they're amazing. The Mesa Temple, the lights are on at the Mesa Temple as well. You ever seen those?
No.
The grounds of the Mesa Temple are huge, and the light thing that they do there is different than Salt Lake, but also awesome.
I should be to St. George next couple of weeks. I'm going to go check that out because I saw that.
Are you taking the kid?
Yeah, probably.
Nice. Make him count the lights.
52-card pickup, and then we'll count the lights.
Yeah, exactly. What's 52-card? Oh, come on. This is a trick.
It's stupid.
How many more stories you got?
I got a couple, if you want them.
Yeah, do one.
Mormon coach honored at Navy. Navy head football coach Ken Numatololo. I don't know how.
He's the guy from Meet the Mormons.
Yeah,
he's
who was featured in the church produced documentary Meet the Mormons, was named the American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year for the second consecutive season.
Baller.
That's pretty good. Brother Numatololo, 51, led the midshipmen to a 7-1 conference record in 2016, clinching the West Division title and earning a spot in the December 3rd conference championship game. So that already happened.
When was it?
December 3rd.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah, well.
Well, offensive production has defined the season. Navy is second in the NCAA in rushing yards, 11th in scoring, and the second fewest turnovers of any team in the nation. Following the December 3rd contest against Temple, the midshipmen will wrap up the regular season with the annual Army-Navy game December 10th.
There you go. You didn't miss that one. That's this weekend.
And begin preparations for a bowl game. Oh, I thought the one on the 3rd was the bowl game.
No.
They'll still be in a bowl game.
No, they'll still be in a bowl game.
So I did not realize that he was and they were that good.
Yeah. You know what else? In the Navy?
Yes.
You can sail the seven seas.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Navy?
Yeah. You can set your mind at ease.
In the Navy?
What's the next one?
I don't know it either.
In the Navy.
I don't know.
I don't know. But we want you for a new recruit. I got another one. This is a sad story. And previous guest here in the Cultural Hall, Reno Mahi. We had sort of been following the progress. 3-year-old daughter, Elsie Mahi, was admitted to Primary Children's Hospital after becoming entangled in a mini blind cord. They were praying for a miracle that she would be healed. Her brain for a while only functioned long enough to give her body oxygen and perform the very basic functions, and then it started to decline. Then she passed away. And they donated her organs to other little kids so that she can continue to live on and help out other people. If you can, and there is a link to this at theculturalhall.com, or if you want to find it on Reno Mahi's social media. an amazing tribute and pictures that people have drawn. A couple artists. One is actually in the family. Their daughter, like an 11-year-old daughter, drew a picture of their family and Elsie going off to be with her Heavenly Father. And then there's another one that a famous artist, and I don't have the name in front of me, he drew a picture of the Savior with Elsie. It's this amazing, like, coal or pencil-drawn picture of Elsie in the arms of the Savior. And it is just about all you can do to not cry checking it out and knowing that story. He continues to, you know, just thank everyone there for their support and is thankful that, you know, that families can be together forever. And just a huge inspiration. There is, at the link at theculturalhall.com, a way for you if you want to contribute to their GoFundMe for the funeral expenses and stuff like that. There's a lot of Mahis in the family. If you remember in the episode, I don't remember how many kids they have, but they do have quite a few kids. So that is something that people are doing. It's a GoFundMe. And if you just search Elsie Mahi, which is M-A-H-E, that's one way you can undo it, or Reno Mahi, and be able to make a donation to their family in this tragic, terrible, terrible time. Another football story, just real quick. Matt Marcantano, he stands out on the football field. I'm guessing it means that he's good, not that he just... Where's Matt? Oh, he's standing out on the football field.
Sideways. He's 5'1".
He has a rocket of an arm, says this story. He is the quarterback at a Catholic high school, Catholic Memorial High School. He doesn't mind scrambling or using his legs to gain yards when his targets are covered. He is a two-sport athlete. He also stands out in lacrosse as well, but he also stands out because he's a Mormon at a Catholic school. He says it's helped him stay grounded in who he is. It's helped him remember who he is and his identity. A non-Catholic attending a Catholic school is far from a new concept. It happens regularly. But the small size of Massachusetts Mormon community makes it a rare occurrence for one of its members to be a part of this particular student body. In the state of Massachusetts, there's only one temple, only 54 wards, and a total membership of only 27,000 members of the church. When I came to Christian Memorial, my family and I turned to each other and said, "This is the place if I can get in." So right then he walked in. He felt this overwhelming feeling of peace and joy. Now he goes there and he loves it. When they first arrived, neighbors encouraged Matt to join them in flag football so he could make friends. He did so, and now he's on the team. Marcantano looks up to both Danny Ainge and Steve Young, and he also has an idol of his own in Taysom Hill. Really looks up to him. He served a 2-year mission as well before he started playing football. I look up to him, his playing style, and how he carries himself. Let's see. Catholic Memorial is such an accepting school, he says, but this young man has not committed to go to college anywhere yet. So maybe he could be the next quarterback at the Brigham Young
University. If he wants to get into heaven, he better come to BYU.
Yeah, if he wants, because it's the Lord's University.
Yeah.
He gets mad if you don't play for his team.
Does he?
Yeah. Ticked. So mad right now.
That rocket arm will be gone.
Yeah.
Some miracle crash.
Where's your talented rocket arm now?
Well, I slipped on the ice.
Oh, the ice I put there. Vengeful Old Testament God. You have any more stories?
I got one more here. Mormon leader pushes for refugee relief at European Summit. A leading Mormon official who vowed General Conference listeners last spring,
Use your good eye.
Well, he was vowing something to them.
Sure.
With his impassioned plea urging Latter-day Saints to help refugees. It's trumpeting that call. He's trumpeting that call again, this time at a European Union summit. Patrick Kieran, a general authority, 70, who oversees Europe for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, took part in a high-level gathering of faith leaders in Brussels last week to discuss the migrating millions fleeing war-torn regions of the world and the challenges nations face in striving to integrate them. As leaders of faith, we do what we can to best encourage our own people to help and give a warm welcome. That will start to facilitate the acceptance of these values that we hold dear. Kieran told European Commission officials. According to an LDS Church news release, being a refugee does not define who these people are. They are refugees for a reason. It is so fulfilling to do something that has immediate value for those who are in such desperate need. Kieran emphasized the one-on-one assistance everyday Mormons have offered refugees and how such encounters have graced the giver and the recipient. I've found it curious not to throw everybody into one bucket, but it seems like a certain demographic of political group, a certain political group is more inclined to welcome refugees more liberally than another sure. group that is more liberal or
less
or,
liberal, more conservative. Yes. Yeah.
Here in the state of Utah, we are very conservative and dominantly part of that political group. Yet we're
not going to say Republican.
We seem okay. We're really Republican here.
We don't need to give.
We
titles.
Voted Trump in. Thanks to us, Trump is a president.
Yeah. Just Utah.
Mostly Utah.
Yeah. That's it.
But here they are really open to and politically here the leader. You know the governor just mentioned this as well. Really open to bringing in refugees here and helping them out.
Yeah, way socially liberal as far as refugees go.
And you know, obviously, a part, not just a part of that, a major part of that is because of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Heard of them.
Have you?
Yeah.
They're right down the street.
Hmm.
I can send a couple guys over to tell you about them.
Perfect.
Your new place.
Great. I've just got a couple of quick stories, and then we'll wrap this thing up. President-elect Trump been meeting with some Mormon folks for Secretary of State, both former governor and kind of Mormon John Huntsman Jr., and also Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's met with him twice. We haven't mentioned that in Articles of News because we haven't had Articles of News for a while, but no announcement made.
The best joke about them at their dinner. Uh-huh. You know that you heard what they ate, right?
Frog legs.
Crow.
Oh.
Stole that. That wasn't me, but I thought it was a good joke.
And the memes that came from from Mitt Romney sitting and eating with Donald Trump. If you didn't see those, where would you? I think you would just maybe Mitt Romney hashtag Mitt Romney or Secretary of State. I don't know, but go back and check them out. So funny. This is what flip flopping looks like.
Yeah.
And just vicious, cruel. The day of Thanksgiving at the MTC. The missionaries in the Missionary Training Center, they package 350,000 meals to help Utah's hungry children. So they just get like boxes of, all the different components to put them together. 350,000 meals packaged and put together.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? 1,500 people, they work the entire day and they make 350,000 meals. So that means just in the last few years, they've packaged 1.4 million meals. Million meals on Thanksgiving Day. What a cool opportunity.
Million?
Yeah. I was in the MTC for the 4th of July, and we just snuck out and watched fireworks. there's this. An 1860s photo album featuring several early leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints went up for auction this last Saturday in Dallas. It included 100 photos, 61 of which are either photos of early church leaders or photos of Salt Lake City at the time. What's the guy's name? Last name is Ackerman. Where is it? Don Ackerman, a consignment director at the Heritage Auctions in the historical department, said that while individual photos of church leaders such as Brigham Young show up quite often, an album like this of all the photos compiled together is one of a kind. I've never seen anything like it, said Don Ackerman. Specific information about who compiled the album or who took the photos is not stated in the album, but if you go to the link at theculturalhall.com, you can see all these old photos, and it's awesome, just awesome. There's also a gold pocket watch that's being sold separately from the album from a different seller, and it was given to Elder Ezra Taft Benson while he was on a mission. Let's try it. Let me do this again. It was a gold watch, which is being sold separately from the album and is it from a different seller. It was given to Elder Ezra T. Benson, an early member of the Quorum of the Twelve and great grandfather of LDS Church President Ezra Taft Benson. So I don't think the Ezra T. Benson, it's probably not Taft, but his great grandfather, same name, It was given to him while he was on a mission in 1856 in England. So old-timey mission pocket watch. How rad is that? Current pieces started at $10,000 a piece. And then this, to finish us out. This is a Thanksgiving story from President Monson. Says, "Dear President Monson, I'm living in Bountiful now. I miss the people of our old stake, but let me tell you of a wonderful experience I've had. In early November, all the widows and other people received an invitation to come to a lovely dinner. We were told not to worry about transportation, since this would be provided by the older youth in the ward. At the appointed hour, a very nice young man rang the bell and took me and another sister to the stake center. He stopped the car, and two other young men walked with us to the building. Inside, they escorted us to the tables, which were seated on each side of us. Was either a young man or a young woman. We were served a lovely Thanksgiving dinner and afterward provided a choice program. Then the young men took us home. It was such a nice evening. Most of us shed a tear or two for the love and respect that we were shown. President Monson, when you see young people treat others like these young people did, I feel the church is in good hands." There came to mind the words from the Epistle of James, quote, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One of the greatest ways to show gratitude to God for what we have is by serving those around us. If your heart was warmed by the story, spread the love and think of what you can do for someone today." And that leads me to, if you are not, at least at the very least, following the hashtag Light the World, we've been posting some of the stuff on our Instagram at the Cultural Hall. There every day it's different things. Jesus fed the hungry, and you can too. And it gives you an example of how you could help feed the hungry, or you know, visit the sick, or any number of things. And it's a great way if you're having a hard time, Kyle, or other people, to getting into the holiday spirit. It's a great way to help get yourself into it, to kind of take yourself away from your own self and be able to reach out to those who might be in need. Some people are sharing those things, but I guarantee you, if you're not one that, you know, you don't want to do something and share it with everyone, just take the challenge and silently do it. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's 25 days and 25 challenges of different things that you can do to not only help other people, but I guarantee you take an opportunity to do even just one of them and you'll feel not only the spirit, but also the holiday spirit of being able to help out somebody. So do that. Cool.
Love that story. Isn't glad that we cool? ended on that instead of like Mormons behaving badly.
Right. I've decided that I want to start ending on an inspirational story. So until I forget about that and do a Mormon's behaving badly, that's what I've done. So we hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you can be well and listen next week.
And that if when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.